You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Today we are on part two of Dance Prince's Dance, which is a direct sequel to Glass Slipper Scandal, which appeared on this podcast earlier in the year. Check out the show notes for a link to another fiction giveaway. This time you can receive an ebook of Fake Geek Girl, previously heard on this podcast, and available via Insta Freebie. You can claim your copy by signing up for my author newsletter, even if you're already on that mailing list. Okay, speaking of Fake Geek Girl and its sequel, Unmagical Boy Story, I've started planning the next Belladonna University serial, The Bromances, which will appear on this podcast sometime next year, and it's going to be awesome. So, Dance Prince's Dance, Part 2, The Team in Steam. The first rookery match of the winter was a 1-1 draw, which in no way conveyed the sheer grind that the players put themselves through. Dennis had a bigger target on his back than he usually did when playing bodyguard to the princes. He was new blood and had more muscle than most of the younger hounds who'd been drafted into Corporal Jack's team, unless you counted Jack herself, who was a force of freaking nature with excellent posture. Worst of all, he'd accidentally let slip in front of Prince Cyrus that he had played before through most of his childhood. Dennis was a local boy, even if he'd been raised in the mountains rather than here in the city that sprawled around Castle Charming. He and his mates played rookery with balls so old that their leather spikes had hardened like steel, and with genuine abandoned eagle's nests tied to trees with strips of bark. Yeah, he should have kept that part under wraps if he didn't want to have at least one royal marking him every time he took a step on the pitch. Serena of Argyle, who was a glamorous socialite any other day of the year, embraced rookery with the determination of a small, angry dragon. She dogged his steps, blocking him whenever he tried to pass the ball. Princess Camilla only played a few minutes to give the newspapers a chance to capture her action in monochrome as much as anything, but Dennis was impressed to see that while she didn't have the shoving and thumping skills of her brothers, she had a good turn of speed. Obviously, she'd been doing something other than painting on walls and moping during the years no one saw her in public. The big surprise was Ziggy, who was terrified and overwhelmed when they first strapped her into the armour, enough that Dennis started feeling guilty about it. But true to form, their newest recruit's fighting instincts kicked in the second Prince Chase tried to trip her. She shifted her weight unexpectedly and flipped him into one of the side pits, which earned a penalty to the Royals, a standing ovation to the Hounds, and was so entertaining that even Chase was still grinning about it when they fished him out. The Hounds didn't win. Dennis didn't even manage to get their only goal, though he claimed the assist after passing to Jack in a messy scramble that got the ball in the nest and saved them from total humiliation. But he managed to play the whole 90 minutes without gazing longingly at Kai, who was rugged up under scarves and coat in the stands. From where Dennis was standing, that was the most important victory of all. Being a royal hound, bodyguard to the disgraceful teenage princes of Castle Charming, had led to many indignities and uncomfortable crossings of boundaries in the few months since Dennis accepted the position. He was the last of this year's official cadets still standing. His fellow newbie Dante had quit the Hounds a week ago when he caught Prince Chase on his knees in a coat cupboard, paying respects to a young lady who turned out to be Dante's girlfriend. Of course, there was Ziggy, who hadn't started out as one of this year's recruits, but was offered the position by Camilla and the princes when she needed somewhere to hide in a hurry. Dennis was glad there were two permanent positions available at the end of the season, so he didn't have to compete with Zig to keep his job. He wasn't sure he could beat her. She was a royal herself until a few months ago, so Ziggy didn't seem to notice the weird informality that existed between the royal teenagers and the young people hired to protect them, Dennis had learned a lot from her, including a masterful poker face and an ability to go with the flow no matter what idiotic idea a prince was pitching at them. In turn, he gave her quiet signals of warning whenever her inner princess began to show. But this was weird, okay? Sharing a sauna with the royal family as they recovered from the beating that both teams had given each other on the rookery pitch today. That was a blurring of boundaries that would have horrified Dennis's family. Then again, there wasn't much about his current life that wouldn't have horrified Dennis's family. "Hey man, I think I can see my boot print on your butt," said Jace, peering at Dennis's bruised hip with pride. "You wish," muttered Dennis, hitching his towel up more to cover the bruise. That one was friendly fire. He gave Zig a dirty look. On the other side of the sauna, Ziggy sat with Princess Camilla, Corporal Jack, and Serena of Argyle, taking in the steam and admiring each other's bruises. It was hardly a surprise that no one, except those in on the scheme, recognised her as the same Princess Ziggy who had appeared in a flurry of husband-seeking debutantes a few months ago, when the season opened. Her hair was short now, making her look boyish and several years younger. Also, she smiled more genuinely out of her cosmetic-free face, relieved to be out of the princess business. Dennis understood. This was something he and Zig had in common. Being a hound was so much better than anything they had left behind. Even on days like this, where they had to put up with the royals treating them like friends instead of inconvenient armed babysitters. "Good game today," said Serena, wandering over from her end of the sauna, wearing a towel that had been designed to wrap around a much smaller person. She leaned over Dennis as if he wasn't even there, giving Prince Chase a lazy fist bump. As she pulled back, she dropped a wink in Dennis's direction and let her towel slip further. This sort of thing happened a lot. He had tried wearing his Book of Parnassus sash once or twice on duty, hoping that an expression of piety would provide sufficient excuse for not taking up the more enthusiastic ladies of the court on their not-so-subtle attempts to add another royal hound notch to their, what did ladies have anyway, garter belts, bedposts, all of the above. Anyway, that had been a disaster. Being a devout worshipper of the mountain gods only made Dennis more enticing to a certain kind of bored royal lady, because now he was viewed as a challenge. He could put them off by telling the truth, of course, that he was really only interested in men, and one soulful-eyed newspaper reporter in particular, but he wasn't ready to share that information with anyone. Both princes and many of their friends were blissfully careless about such things. Dennis had followed Prince Chase into enough clubs to know that he was equally attracted to men as women, for instance. But they could afford to be open. In any case, the thing Dennis had for Kai was hopeless. Better to never acknowledge it. "Where are we celebrating tonight?" asked Gawain, bumping shoulders with Prince Cyrus. "The Blue Dragon? Or shall we go further afield?" Further afield meant sneaking out beyond the bounds of the prince's curfew, to the outer city, or beyond. It meant disobeying the rules laid out for the royal hounds by the king himself. Like Sarge always said, princes gonna prince. Unofficial policy was that it was better for the hounds to join them on their stupid drunken adventures than to remind them it wasn't allowed and risk them sneaking out on their own. Fergus, another of the hounds, groaned beside Dennis. "Guess I'm not reading a story to my kid tonight," he muttered quietly enough that only Dennis could hear. From how Jack and the older hounds spoke, this was the time of the year that the princes usually ran completely off the rails, rebelling against the social expectations of the season. But they'd been behaving suspiciously well lately, as if Camilla's presence gave them more of a reason to consider their responsibilities. The two princes exchanged a look. "Nah," said Chase after a moment. "Got a lot on tomorrow. Best have an early night." Yeah, early night, Cyrus agreed. Their friends chirped and harassed them, but the two princes stood firm that they wouldn't be partying. But you've been good for weeks, Serena pouted. You're no fun anymore, Chase. Maybe I'm growing up, muttered Prince Chase. Maybe you're trying to impress someone, she shot back. I wonder who. Maybe we just want to ensure that we beat the hounds at the next match, announced Cyrus. You're going to need more than a good night's sleep for that, Dennis said automatically, and the sauna erupted into teasing and laughter. The refusal of the princes to go out with their friends was dropped, for now. As they headed out of the steam room, Dennis exchanged a look with Corporal Jack. The princes of Castle Charming were up to something, and it was their job to figure out what, before it turned into a full-bore disaster. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr at TansyRR and at Sheep Might Fly. Like my page on Facebook at TansyR Roberts. And if you sign up for my author newsletter, you get a free ebook. Follow the link. See you next time.